Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. A question we get periodically goes like this. You know, Pastor, I go to a church with a woman pastor. I know the Bible doesn't like that, but I love my church. Am I sinning by staying in this church? Well, let's get into this. Let's take a moment, let's pray, and let's get into this topic. Father, we do pray your Holy Spirit now would be our teacher. Help us understand the Scriptures the way that is honest and right with the text, and just help us understand these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm a Lutheran. I went to a very liberal Lutheran seminary that very much promoted women preachers. And here's how they got around the Scripture. They would say, well, yes, the Apostle Paul teaches against women preaching over men in the New Testament, but that was written just to that culture back then. Back then, women were not educated. Today, women are educated, so it's fine for women to preach over men. And I'm thinking, wait, I never did believe what they taught me. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Look at the Apostle Paul's argument in 1 Timothy 2 for forbidding women pastors. He says, quote, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. For, they're uneducated? That's not what he said. For, the ground of his argument, it was not the woman who was created first, but the man was created first. So the reason Paul wants only men to teach over the church is because of the way God made male and female. So that endures regardless of what age you're in. Years ago, I wanted to take a refresher course in the Greek New Testament. So I went to a Christian college here in the Twin Cities, and here's the old pastor with all the young college students, and every student, myself included, got 5 minutes on a day to do a five-minute devotional. A young woman gets up and used her 5 minutes to preach feminism, and God has called me to be a pastor. And maybe some of you don't believe that. You can talk to me afterwards, but I'm on my way to be a pastor. And she sat down, I tapped her on the shoulder. Can we talk afterwards? And I tried to be loving and humble about it. And I said, after class, I said, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, a woman should not be a preacher over the church. Well, who are you to question God's calling on my life? God is calling me to do this. I said, He's not. Well, I prayed about it. It just seems, no, I said, we don't live by our feelings. We live by the written word of God. And the written word of God says, if you're a woman, you're not to preach over men. Well, I didn't convince her. I think she's maybe a preacher even to this day. But there's a lesbian Lutheran bishop in New York with the last name of Foster. She puts out lots of videos. And so I write Facebook articles. You can go to my Facebook page. I've written about Bishop Foster. And I got a rather angry response, and this woman says, I'm a lesbian, and it was Bishop Foster that brought me back into the church because of her sterling Christian character. I wrote her back, she's a woman having sex with a woman, she's married to a woman, that's not sterling Christian character, that's called sin. And the woman, well, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. You're talking about the Apostle Paul. I don't believe what Paul said. I stick to the words of Jesus. And I said, Jesus kind of did talk about homosexuality in Matthew 18. He says marriage is between a man and a woman, not two women. And I said, the Apostle Paul, Jesus appointed Paul to be an apostle. And his writings are just as much scripture as the Gospels that contains Jesus' writings. It's not like you throw out the verses you don't like. There's a movie star by the name of Kristen Chenoweth. I just saw this recently. She's speaking at a gala of the LGBT movement called the Human Rights Campaign. She gets in front of the group and says, I'm a woman of faith, but I have a friend who's a homosexual. And he said to me, am I going to hell because of the scriptures? And I said, no, you're not going to hell. And she said this, when I read scripture, I remember what my grandma said. I read the Bible like I'm eating a piece of fish. I eat the meat, but spit out the bones that I don't like. No. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God. The parts you don't like, they're inspired by God. We don't make the scriptures fit us. We change our lives to fit the scriptures. One more point about women preachers. Jesus could have chosen 6 men and 6 women to be the apostles. He didn't. He chose 12 men to be the apostles over the church. Now, the Bible teaches women have all kinds of stuff that they do for the kingdom. The Bible does teach, Titus 2, women should teach women. The Bible teaches 2 Timothy 2, women should teach children. But the preacher over a church, according to the Bible, Paul and Jesus, is to be a man. And you know, hear this. Decades ago, almost no denominations had women pastors. The Lutheran Church started ordaining women in 1970. There are whole denominations of Lutherans, though, that still don't ordain women. And decades ago, these more liberal churches started ordaining women. Today, they all ordain practicing homosexuals. And all these denominations I'm talking about are shrinking in number because if you go against the Bible, you get what you get. Years ago, when I was still in the big liberal evangelical Lutheran church in America, I got my church out of that. We joined a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. But I'm going to my convention. They were so hard to go to. And they start, this is when they hadn't taken the vote yet. They were still promoting the gay stuff. And a woman got up at the convention. You know, we don't believe what the Bible says anymore about women preachers. Why do we have to believe what the Bible says about homosexuality? And I spoke up. And I said, some of us still do believe what the Bible teaches about women preachers. That went over like a lead balloon. But my point is this. Everybody, could we follow the scripture? Back to the original question. Is it okay for me to be in a church that has a woman preacher or pastor? I'd find another church. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's ask another question today. Is it okay, while we're talking about women and men and life, is it okay for a wife and mother to work outside the home? Well, you got to look at two scriptures to get the whole story. First scripture, Titus chapter 2, quote, older women are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled, etc. So, yes, women are to be workers at home. But then you've also got Proverbs 31 talking about the ideal wife. Quote, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does her husband good. She provides food for her household. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. She opens her hand to the poor. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now, did you catch that? The ideal wife is doing business. She's buying a field. She's selling sashes or whatever. So it's not forbidden for a woman to work outside the home. Nevertheless, I think the way God made women, the heart of the woman is to take care of her husband and her children. There is a wonderful movie, one of the best ever made. In fact, it beat out Citizen Kane for the 1941 Best Picture, believe it or not. It's called How Green Was My Valley. Sweet film. About a mining family in Wales. And the I think maybe the opening line or somewhere in the movie, the young man says about his family, "Now father was the head of the home, but mother was the heart of the home." I have a relative who's a feminist. She had a good paying job. When she and her husband had her baby, she wanted to quit her job and she wanted to be home to raise this child. And she did. I think that was nature kicking in. The way God made us between men and women is kind of different. Honor those differences. They're good differences. So, back to the question. Should a wife and mother work outside the home? I think the answer is it's not forbidden, but overwhelmingly her heart is to take care of her husband and her children. And that's a good thing. Last question. Are men and women equal in the sight of God? I think the answer to that is yes. This comes from Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So yes, men and women are equally made in the sight of God in his image. And then there's this verse, 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, did you hear that? Men and women are both heirs of eternal life through Christ. Now, you might say, yeah, but that verse calls women the weaker vessel. Well, physically, women are weaker than men, which is why it is crazy in our transgender culture that they are putting biological men into women's sports. It's destroying women's sports. So yes, men and women are equal before God, equally made in his image, equal heirs with Christ of eternal life. But, you know, let me just say this. Men and women are equal, but they're different. They're created with different roles. And as the French say, vive la différence. Enjoy the differences between male and female. Don't try to erase the differences. God made them for a purpose. And don't fight it. Don't fight the way God made you. Enjoy the way God made the sexes. And let's sum it up, though. Should a woman be a pastor over a church? No. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And the fact that Jesus had 12 male apostles. Second question, is it okay for a wife and mother to work outside the home? It's not forbidden. The ideal wife is doing it in Proverbs 31, but her heart is to be at home and taking care of her husband and children. Are men and women equal? The answer is yes. They're equally made in the image of God, and they're both joint heirs with Christ, but they have different roles, and enjoy, celebrate the differences between man and woman, the way God created. And I'll close with this. Years ago, I preached a sermon entitled, "The Only Advice That Still Works." And I was preaching off of the Apostle Paul's teaching, wives, love your husbands, love your wives, give yourselves up for them like Christ did for the church. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And I said, that's the way God made marriage. Well, I'm shaking hands at the door afterward, and maybe a middle-aged woman comes up, grabs my hand. "Pastor, that's the most miserable sermon I've ever heard in my life." And she kind of stormed off. And I thought, I bet she's not real easy to be married to. Listen, everybody. Whether the culture agrees with this or not, it doesn't matter. How does God say marriage should work? Husbands, love your wives. Give yourselves up for them, like Christ did for the church. Wives, love your husbands. Submit to your husbands. That is the way marriage works. That's the way God created us. And let's enjoy the differences. Vive la différence. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question. Mm-hmm. The first people to preach that Jesus rose from the dead were the women at the tomb. That shows that God does want women to preach.
Last night, I had a couple friends of mine over, and a husband and wife, and we kind of got into this. And the husband kind of brought that up. And I pointed out, Jesus told the women, the angel told the women, go and tell the disciples Jesus is risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. Fine. He didn't say, go and tell them to become preachers over congregations and to become pastors. There's a difference. So, of course, women can proclaim Christ to others. But to be the pastor over a church, the Bible says no. Yeah.
Okay. Deborah in the Old Testament was the leader of the Jews. So women can lead men.
All right. Let's talk about that one. Deborah was one of the judges. And if you read the Old Testament, overwhelmingly, like 99% of the time, the judges and the kings are male. Now, you do have Deborah, mm-hmm. who's an exception. And a couple times or so, you have the queen mother ruling over Israel. And normally that did not go well because of idolatry, etc. So can God make an exception? Okay. In an extreme case, you maybe see something like that. Don't use Deborah, though, to overthrow what God teaches in Old and New Testament times.
Okay.
Yeah.
If men don't step up to the plate and preach, then a woman has to do it. Shouldn't a church have a woman pastor rather than no pastor at all?
I'm going to give you my opinion, but Mona, how would you answer that?
God could raise up a stone and make a pastor. I mean, God can do anything, yeah. The impossible. So.
Yeah. And what I think, though, I think they're using that as an excuse. If how many churches let a woman preach that shouldn't? I mean, all of them, I think. But here's the deal. Here's my point. I was in the liberal branch of Lutheranism. When I was in seminary, they had started ordaining women about 9 years before. So a few of my classmates were women. Today at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, mm-hmm. the majority of the seminarians are women. And now, Luther Seminary, St. Paul, Minnesota, they have transgender preachers. They have homosexual preachers. Mm-hmm. They have prayers periodically to our Mother, God in heaven. And you know what's happened to Luther Seminary? It has shrunk so bad, they have to sell off their beautiful historic campus that I attended. Those buildings are like more than 100 years old. All of it's going to be gone because of shrinking attendance and finances. You reap what you sow. So is there an instance where a woman should become the preacher of over a church because no man will step forward? I would say God can raise up. I would wait until God raises up a man, mm-hmm. so that your church is built on Scripture rather than the culture.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is it okay for a woman to evangelize a man? Is it okay for a woman to correct a man?
Well, if you read Acts chapter 18, Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife, Apollos is kind of not complete in his knowledge of Scripture, so they took him aside and they talked to him about it. And I think if you read, a woman, can, like if you wanted to talk to a man and just talk about Christ and go back and forth, I think that's fine. But for you to preach over him in the church, that's not good. I want to read, let's say that you have a husband, mm-hmm. who's not a believer. How do you win him to Christ? And I bring this from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, you've got unbelieving husband, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So, you know, probably a lot of women here have unbelieving husbands, they're believers. How do you bring them to Christ? Often, you can't talk about it anymore because he doesn't want to hear it, but you win him without a word by your wonderful behavior toward him.
True.
Yeah, there you go.
What should a single woman do with her life if she's not married?
Yeah. You know, if God has not brought you a husband, then you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul, who was single, talks about the glory of the single life. Mm-hmm. You have more time to spend the Lord. You don't have to think about your wife and your kids and the car, and you can devote your life more wholeheartedly to the Lord. So I would encourage, if you're a single person, don't think that's a curse. It's a blessing. Read 1 Corinthians 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am a believer in Christ, and I have a friend who is often saying that God is speaking to her and doing miracles for her. I have never heard God speak to me or seen a miracle. Does that mean that I am not really a Christian?
I have a friend who's a pastor, and at least he was a Christian guy, but he very often talks about getting words from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm nervous about him. I can God talk to people? And yes, of course he can, but not everything you think is a word from the Lord mm-hmm. is a word from the Lord. So I'm just very, very cautious when people say that. And if you think you have a word from the Lord, of course, test it against Scripture. Mm-hmm. If your word contradicts the Bible wins, not your, quote, word from the Lord. So I'm not saying it can't happen. I think the Lord has talked to me through a vision or a dream, more like I haven't had a vision, but like a dream or two or three or four. But you got to be careful. And people, you know, what I would say to this woman, the fact that you don't have that and this your friend does, doesn't mean that your faith is less than hers. Maybe she gets those things because she has to, because her faith is so weak.
Mm-hmm.
We are just to rely on the Scripture as our final authority.
Amen.
Okay.
Could you please do a sermon on Remember the Sabbath Day and Keep It Holy? About the Sabbath's history, and in today's society when things are open on Sunday?
Yeah, I remember back in the early 1980s, all of the shopping malls in Minneapolis were closed.
Yeah.
And now you go by the shopping malls on Sunday, they're filled.
Mm-hmm.
And is our society healthier or less healthy than it was in like 1980? I think we've got so many more divorces, so many more nervous breakdowns, suicides, workaholism. You know, I think, and this is going to throw people, the one commandment of the Ten Commandments that's not reiterated in the New Testament is honor, obey the Sabbath, you know, honor the Sabbath day. So, and in the New Testament Christians are worshiping on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Well, probably because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. That was such a big deal that they started worshiping on that day. Now, Seventh-day Adventists think, no, it has to be on Saturday because the Old Testament says Saturday. But the Old Testament says you have to kill lambs when you sin. We don't do that anymore. It's been fulfilled. I think the Sabbath has been fulfilled. So a lot of early Christians were slaves. They couldn't have taken a day off if they wanted to. So I don't think the Old Testament Saturday Sabbath is required of New Testament Christians. Does that mean we shouldn't keep some kind of Sabbath? I think it's healthy. And you know, think of this, Mona. Even non-Christian cultures normally have one day off a week.
Mm-hmm.
I think God kind of built it into us for our rest. And if you can't keep Saturday or Sunday as your Sabbath because you're working, well, then try to. I mean, when I first came to our church many, many years ago, an old white-haired pastor said, Tom, your day off is Thursday. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see your foot in the church. I don't want to see your car in the parking lot. You take Thursday as your day to go hard after the Lord. So I think we all need one day. Does mm-hmm. it have to be Sunday? I don't think it does. But I think it's good. It just remembers the resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's required. There you go.
All right. A person I know is 90 years old and wants to die and be with the Lord, so she doesn't eat. Is this suicide?
I think it kind of is. And I would minister to her and I'd say, you know, God, even though you're really wanting to go home and be with the Lord, he would not have you not eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just encourage her to eat and drink, not to starve herself.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. I know people who go to the graves of their dead ones and talk to them. I know they are dead and not really there, but does God intervene and tell their loved ones the message? What do you think is the most important? And what do you think
Okay. So let's stop there. I know a Christian lady, I think, although I don't think her faith is real strong. She told me about how she talks to her dead husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said, I hope I did, you know, the Bible says it's an abomination to try to talk to the dead. That's why the Old Testament is against spiritists, where you go to a seance and bring up dead mm-hmm. Uncle Joe to talk to him. Because that could be demonic spirits masquerading as dead Uncle Joe. So don't do fortune telling. Don't do Ouija boards. Don't do seances. Don't try to talk to the dead. Can even the dead, do they know what's going on down here on earth? We don't know the answer to that. So we just only pray to living people. Mm-hmm. We don't pray to our dead uncle or anything like that. Yeah.
Could demonic spirits then answer those questions?
Yeah. I think if you go to a seance, a lot of it's hooey. Mm-hmm. These are people who know how to trick people. Mm-hmm. But is it possible some demonic stuff can happen? I think so. Yeah, the Ouija board. I mean, God forgive me. I remember when I was 13, my friends and I did the Ouija board. And all of a sudden, it got a little supernatural. I won't go into it, but I thought, ooh, you know. So if you got a Ouija board, throw it away.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Throw it away. Okay, then the second part of that question. What do you think is the most important book of the Bible?
You know, all the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. If I could only take one book of the Bible to the desert island and live there the rest of my life, it wouldn't be Leviticus. I think, and I'm just giving my opinion here, to a new Christian, I would say read the book of Luke, mm-hmm. or Matthew or John or Mark. Read one of them. But then the second book I tell them to read, Romans. Mm-hmm. The book of Romans is Paul's swan song of all of his great theological insights. And if you want good, deep, biblical Christianity, read the book of Romans. Yeah.
Okay. This is from a child. Do we have good food in heaven and have them like pizza and ice cream?
I think what I'd say to a child is, we don't know if we're eating in heaven or not. We're going to have resurrection spiritual bodies. But by the way, Jesus in his resurrected body ate fish.
Yes.
You know. So I would just say to the child, we don't know.
All right. Yeah. Here's another question.
We got to go, Mona.
Oh.
So everybody, thanks for watching our show. I'm supposed to hold this up. Can you see this? We are now at pastorstudy.org on, can I do this? YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. And if you want to watch these programs, just go there, join us. Become a follower and hit like or something like this. As you can tell, I'm not real savvy on this stuff. But or you can go to #PastorStudy. So if you understand that stuff, you go ahead and do it. Otherwise, just go to PastorStudy.org. All of our TV shows are there. Pray for our ministry, please. If the Lord nudges you to support us, there'll be an address in a minute, or you can go to pastorstudy.org. But there you go.
Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Thanks for joining us today. See you next week on the Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.